God designed marriage for a reason. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us about God's divine plan from the very beginning of creation.
You don't know when you might be in the emergency room. You don't know when suddenly you have to have God's help for your children. You don't know when suddenly you have to have a miracle from God. You don't want your wife 75 miles away and you left that morning after having cursed and things aren't right. Listen, fellas, you are wise to keep things right between you and your wife.
At times, life can seem like an endless cycle of hopelessness. In our series, The Difference Jesus Makes, we will discover that no matter what is taking place in our lives, we can always turn to Jesus. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Whatever you may be facing, believe that Jesus understands and has a plan for your life. When we bring our problems to the Lord and trust Him to take care of our needs, He will make a difference in our lives like no one else can. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Making a Difference in Our Homes.
Sometimes people think that a fundamental Bible-believing church like this places all the emphasis on how the kids look or how the choir looks and so forth. And I believe all of that is important, but I believe it needs to flow from a heart of humility to God. And I believe when there's something different going on in your heart, it's going to be reflected in the way that you live your outward life. And I believe very strongly in the fact, however, that we must from the heart do the will of God, as the Bible teaches in Ephesians chapter 6. The Bible says in Matthew 5:8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Now, you show me a man with a proud heart, he'll tell you everything that's wrong with his wife. He'll tell you why it's okay to cheat on his wife. He'll tell you why he can go ahead and do things on the internet. Why? Because he has a proud, selfish heart. But God has called us to have a heart of humility, humility of heart. This is something that every marriage must have. Bible says in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance," speaking of the elder brother of David, "or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And God says, I want you as a man, as a woman, a husband, a wife, to have a humble heart. Show me a couple that's arguing, I'll show you a selfish, proudful couple. God says, humble yourself before me. There must be humility of heart. There must be, secondly, meekness of spirit. The Bible says there in verse number 4 that a woman is to have an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. And I believe in a sense that this is godly counsel for every one of us, to have a spirit of meekness, a spirit that is at rest. And that will be reflected in your speech, Colossians 4:6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how to answer every man. And so we must begin our marital discussion this morning with the understanding that we are to be humble before Almighty God. You see, it's not about getting many understandings of many religions and your understanding and your understanding, your understanding. It's about the two of you in your family or the six of you in your family coming into the surrender of the Word of God and saying, Lord, we as a family humble ourselves before you. And we want you to lead this family. Humility before God. That will lead, secondly, to humility before one another. God wants us to humble ourselves one before another. Now notice what the Bible says in verse 1 of this chapter. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Something similar is said in verse 5. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Now, this type of concept, these verses, if you are not humble towards the Lord, these verses really frustrate you. These kinds of teachings are not real acceptable to our proud society today. Because no one wants to submit themselves to someone else. Everyone wants their rights and their ways, and they want it right now. But God says that we're to humble ourselves before one another. Now that happens on three venues, and I want you to see those very quickly. First, again, we see that this is expressed in our submission to God. Again, being right with one another always begins with being right with God. Let me say that again. If you want your horizontal relationships to function properly as a Christian, your vertical relationship must be in line. You cannot be right with your spouse if you are not right with God. And so the Bible is very clear that we must be in submission to God. One of my most helpful Bible verses is Ephesians 5:1. And it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Let's say that together. Be ye therefore followers of God as you know, little children, they trust us, they listen to us. God wants us to have that heart towards Him. He wants us to follow Him as little children. And while the Scriptures admonish a wife to place herself under the authority of her husband, all of us are under God's authority, and we must be submissive to God. Then the second avenue, of course, is expressed in our submission one to another. When we speak about humility and how it is demonstrated first by being submissive to God. Secondly, by being submissive or yielded one to another. Ephesians 5:21 says, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." God wants a husband and wife to yield themselves one to another. The husband's the head of the home, yes, but he ought to be looking for ways and opportunities to yield to his wife and to meet her needs, and each of us yielding one to another, giving preference and honor one to another. Now, as we look in the Scriptures, we see first we're to be submitted to God, secondly to one another. Notice thirdly then, it is expressed in a wife's submission to her own husband. In a wife's submission to her own husband, verse 1, be in subjection to your own husband. That word is a Greek military term, which means to fall in line. It means to come in a voluntary attitude of cooperation and assume your responsibility. And a godly wife and a humble wife is a wife that says to her husband, "I want to support your leadership. I want to come in line with you and help you glorify God in our family." I believe it was Matthew Henry who said, "The woman was made of a rib out of the side of Adam, not made out of his head to top him, nor out of his feet to be trampled on by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected, and near his heart to be loved by him." You see, when the Bible tells a woman to submit to her husband, it is not implying that she is spiritually inferior, nor is it implying that she is intellectually inferior. There are times, if you're honest as a Christian husband, when your wife has been closer to the Lord than you. And there may be areas where she is far ahead of you in some area academically, perhaps. But it does say that God is a God of order, and that God's intention in family design is that there would be order and leadership. You see, this is God's plan, Colossians 3:18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Other verses say to do it as unto the Lord. And oh, there are times when a husband is maybe not living the way he should. And it's difficult for the wife to support that leadership. Now, I want to say something, husbands. If you will be a husband that is completely submissive to God, and if you'll be a husband that is yielding yourself to your wife and looking for ways to be a blessing to her, yielding your will to her, it is a lot easier for that wife to support and submit to you. It is a blessing to a wife when a husband is yielded to the Lord. God bless you men for being here today and for endeavoring to live after the things of the Lord. Now, when a husband is not all that he should be, we still counsel a wife to support her husband. For the Bible says there in verse 1 that she may without the word win her husband by her own testimony. And yes, that is biblical to follow your husband, and he will not always be right. But how much greater is it for a wife whose husband is following the Lord? Where does that all begin, this following the Lord and yielding to one another and supporting the husband? That seems archaic. We don't hear much about that. We don't see that on television today. Where does that come from? It comes from people submitted and humble before a holy God. People who realize that God is the authority. And so we must have a different attitude if we're going to have a Christ-like marriage, and it is an attitude of humility. Notice secondly, we must have a different anticipation. A different anticipation with marriage. And that anticipation is an anticipation to help. Now, most people enter into their marriage with false anticipations. And those expectations set us up for disappointment and sometimes discouragement. Most fellas have it like this, you know, after I get married, I'm going to work my 8 hours and I'm going to drive back an hour home. When I get home, the house is going to smell like roast beef. There's going to be music playing in the house. There's going to be candles lit everywhere. My wife will have the meal ready just as soon as we're done eating. The kids will already be asleep. She'll have already taken care of that. As soon as we're done eating, she'll either want to scratch my head or rub my shoulders on alternating days. And unfortunately, we come into marriage anticipating what we get out of it. We forget that if our wife has kids, she's been working all day too. We forget some of those types of things. What should we anticipate? What is it that we should expect in marriage? We should expect to love and serve our spouse. We should come into the marriage looking for what we can give in the marriage, not just for what we can receive. Verse 2 says, while they behold your chaste conversation. That means your pure lifestyle. And here we see what kind of spouse God has called us to be. First, we see a helpful wife is a godly wife. God calls the wife to be the helpmeet, to be the completer, Genesis 2:18. Titus 2:5 says, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. A spiritually mature spouse is looking for ways to serve and be a blessing, looking for ways to help and be an encouragement. And God calls the wife to be a helper to her husband. And not only is a helpful wife a godly wife, but secondly, a helpful husband is a Christ-like husband. God is looking for a husband to meet the needs of his wife. How many of you understand the term the bride of Christ? That's a term that's used in reference to Christians, isn't it? And we are the purchased possession of Jesus, and he is the bridegroom. How many of you are glad that Jesus has met our spiritual needs on the cross of Calvary? And Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he had you on his mind, and he had me on his mind. And Jesus, when he shed his blood, did that for all of us because he loves us and he wants us to go to heaven. And Jesus met the greatest need of all of us when he died on the cross. And he says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He says, I want you to expect this out of your marriage, an opportunity to serve, an opportunity to be a blessing to your wife. Ephesians 5:28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. It is to be a sacrificial love. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives. I heard of a new husband who came home one evening to find his wife in tears. And his wife said, you know the dinner I cooked for us tonight? He said, yeah. She said, the dog ate it. He replied and said, don't worry, sweetheart, we'll get another dog. Now, I don't know if that's how to be real helpful to your wife or not. But a husband is to be looking for ways to encourage his wife along the way. And so the attitude of a marriage that makes a difference is a humble attitude. It's not all about me. It's not all about what I deserve. It's all about God getting the glory. And the anticipation of a marriage that makes a difference is an anticipation to help and to serve our spouse. Looking for ways this week to be a blessing. Thirdly, there must be a different adaptation. You see, if you're going to make a difference, you're going to have to adjust back to the scriptures. And the Bible tells us that we are to live with our spouses knowledgeably. That we're going to have the wisdom to make that difference. Notice this in verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now notice the husband is commanded to dwell with knowledge. He's to know and understand his wife. And there might be a husband here today who says, but Pastor Chapel, I always get it wrong. And one man said to me years ago, my wife is like the weather. She's always changing. I never know what to do and how to meet her needs. And to some extent that may be true, but God has commanded you to seek to know and to gain his wisdom in how to meet those needs. How do you know what to do? Let me give you some counsel, men. First of all, by asking God for wisdom, by praying. You know, one of the first questions I sometimes ask in marriage counseling is this simple question. Do you pray for your wife? Do you pray together as a couple? Because my friend, God has commanded us in James 1:5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God says, I'll give you that understanding that you need. And it's amazing how God will lead a praying Christian, and he'll help you to understand exactly what your wife needs. One man said to God, God, why do you make women so soft and beautiful? God said, so you'd love them. He said, then, God, why do you make women so illogical and so emotional? He said, so that they would love you. Now, fellas, those of you that are married this morning, most of you, if you be honest, you've married way over your head. God has been good to you. And you ought to thank God for your spouse. I don't have a lot of time for a man that wants to run his wife down. You want to know how to be a better husband? I want to help you. But don't come and tell me how bad she is. Listen to me, Bubba. You asked her to marry you. You want to tell me how bad your wife is? Just put a big sticker on your forehead that says, I'm stupid. Don't ask someone to stand by your side until heaven and then come saying how bad they are. You ought to thank God for your wife today. And the grass is not greener on the other side. It's artificial turf over there. Look, we're not here to tell you how to get out. We're here to help you stay in this morning. Amen. And the way to stay in is by prayer. God's going to give you the wisdom that you need. And God's going to show you how to be more sensitive and how to be filled with His Spirit. And so we must ask for wisdom. Secondly, if you want to know how to dwell according to knowledge, then I encourage you to be a good listener. James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. You know, I know it's very simple, but stop for a moment and think about it. God gave us one mouth and two ears for a reason. And God wants us to be good listeners, and especially with our wife. I saw a sign in a florist window years ago. It said, smoking or forgetting your wife's birthday can be hazardous to your health. Sometimes wives lay little subtle hints along the way. Things like, oh, February's coming. That's Valentine's Day, February. Just subtle hints. Or March is coming. That's my birthday. And you know, some of us are so slow, fellas, we don't even catch it. Some of us would do better to be listeners along the way. A good listener is someone who gets tuned in to what's being said and tries to let everything else go away. If you're like me, you've got so many things on your mind, and you can be doing one thing while you're thinking about two or three other things, and maybe that's good sometimes, but when you're with your wife, it's probably not the best habit to be in. You ever driven down the freeway, maybe going out to Texas or maybe out through Arizona, and you just want to hear the radio station? And the problem is, when you get out in some of those areas, you just have trouble getting just one radio station. And you can be hearing news from San Francisco and Albuquerque and Farmington all at the same time. And it seems like about the time you're listening to one thing, whoops, here comes another one and another one. How many of you have noticed it's hard to listen to three radio stations at one time? It's hard to do that. And when you're listening to your wife, I encourage you to tune in and listen to what she has to say. Hear the tone of her voice. My wife is my best counselor in life. I thank God for what she says, and she's helped me in so many ways. And I encourage you men to pray for wisdom in how to deal with the matters of your home. The Bible says you're to dwell according to knowledge. Secondly, you're to dwell with respect. With respect. You know, this world in which we live is tearing down respect. There's no longer femininity and masculinity. There's no longer old-fashioned values and respect. But I still believe the Bible teaches that a woman is to be treated with respect. And your wife, above all, is to be honored and respected. You're to speak to her properly. You're to treat her properly. She's the queen of your family. And the Bible says here in verse number 7, you husbands dwell with them according to knowledge. Notice this, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. This simply speaks not necessarily again of her emotionally or spiritually. It speaks of her value and treasured possession in your home as the china, as the silver, as something special that may be of a weaker nature in that sense, but yet very valuable in the home. God says, I want you to respect your wife today. I want you to love her. I love the quote by Kent Hughes, the man who sanctifies his wife understands that this is his divinely ordained responsibility. Is my wife more like Christ because she's married to me? Or is she like Christ in spite of me? Has she shrunk from his likeness because of me? Do I sanctify her or hold her back? Is she a better woman because she is married to me? Oh, the Bible says we're to protect our wives from the spot and wrinkle of this world. And every husband here ought to say, God, help me not to lead my family in the ways of unrighteousness. Some of you husbands ought to go home and unplug the HBO. Some of you maybe have some things in your closet or some words that you say, and I'm not down on you and I don't hate you. I love you this morning, but I'm simply saying you're going to stand before God one day for the way you treat that family. And I want to challenge every husband here today to say, Lord, help me to show my wife the proper respect. Maybe some husbands here that need to go home and say, honey, I'm sorry. Last Thursday I had a bad day. I came home and said some things or did some things. I want to make it right. I want to be right with God. I don't want to be in the flesh. I want to be right with you. You say, why is that important? Hey, fellas, if you have a Bible, look at verse 9. Look at this. Verse 7, the last phrase, that your prayers be not hindered. Would you say that with me? That your... You don't know when you might be in the emergency room. You don't know when suddenly you have to have God's help for your children. You don't know when suddenly you have to have a miracle from God. And you don't want your wife 75 miles away and you left that morning after having cursed and things aren't right. Listen, fellas, you are wise to keep things right between you and your wife. Because you don't want your prayers to be hindered. You want to keep open access to God. Hey, this is right from the Bible, isn't it, this morning? We don't want our prayers to be hindered. We want God's power upon our lives. And so we must respect her today. Then we must respect her for eternity. You know what you need to remember, fellas? Your wife is a blood-bought possession of Jesus Christ. That is, you are heirs together, verse 7 says. That is, you'll spend eternity in heaven. That means that she is the possession of Jesus Christ first and foremost. And you want to honor her as the child of God. Now, there may be someone here today, and you say, I just feel like it's impossible to restore our marriage. And I want to encourage you. If you will take this simple message and for the next 30 to 60 days, practice what the Bible says. If you will have a humble attitude towards your wife. If you will have a helpful attitude towards your spouse. If you will pray for wisdom and knowledge every day. If you will treat one another with respect, your marriage will have a complete and radical difference experienced. You will see that God's word does work. And you might be here this morning and you say, but Pastor, you've preached this whole message and I'm a single mom or a single dad or my spouse has gone to be with the Lord or my spouse left me. And I want to tell you something. We love you and thank God for you. And there are Bible principles here that you can apply this morning as well in your heart towards God. And you don't know what God has for you down the road. He may be preparing you through this message for something in your future. I just want to remind you that whatever relationship you are in, Jesus Christ can make the difference. If you will let Him, whether you're a dating couple today or a married couple, let God make the difference. Don't try to live by the God of your understandings, but live by the God who understands all. Follow His word each and every way. You may not be in the majority in America if you follow this book. You may be viewed as out of touch with your people, but I want to tell you something. I'd rather be out of touch with everybody on my block and in touch with the God of heaven. I want a marriage that honors Him. I want a marriage that pleases the Lord. And I pray the same for your marriage today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You this morning that You love us and that You've given us clear directions and that we don't have to turn to all the philosophies and religions to find truth, but that we find the truth, the final authority in Your word. I pray right now that You would bless in these few moments before we're dismissed, that every person here would just be open and honest with You today. That every husband and wife would humbly open their heart to You.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Now, if you've missed any part of this program, including portions that we didn't have time for today, simply go to dailyintheword.org, where you can listen online anytime. You can also download the Daily in the Word podcast to your device and listen on the go. If you have questions about how to enter into a relationship with Jesus, we would love to talk to you more about what it means to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Simply call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. In life, there's nothing more important than knowing where you'll spend eternity. Some people believe that being a good person is their pass to get into heaven, or that this life is all there is. But nothing could be further from the truth. That's why Pastor Paul Chapel wants us to send you his newest book called Paid in Full, Your Debt, God's Payment, as a thanks when you support this ministry financially. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this book for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-688-6329 or dailyintheword.org. Thanks in advance for your support. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.